Well, it's always a joy to be here at Landmark. And I hope you know, as I tell you every time I come, I love and appreciate you all very, very much. And I consider you family. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you would, please, Psalms 106, verse 13. Psalms 106, verse 13. The Bible says, they soon forgot his works. They soon forgot his works, forgot how much that he loved them, forgot that he took them across the Red Sea, forgot that he fed them for 40 years and tended to their needs. He brought them meat, and man, he took care of them in every possible way. Shoes didn't go bad. Health was good. I mean, God proved himself constantly and continually that I love you and I'm on your side. But Israel forgot. How in the world can you and I forget that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? But we forget it sometimes. We forget the fact that he says, I'm coming back. And we live as if he's never coming back. We go out and get involved in things as if to say, God, what are you going to do about it? It's like we challenge him. We can live rebellious lives as if he's not even watching. It's crazy how quick you and I forget who we are. And in Psalms 106, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. You know, I look across even in this audience, and there's different ages, that which means we're in different seasons. Some are heading to college. Some are halfway through college. Some are through college. Some's trying to figure out who they're going to marry. And your life, you know, you've lived it basically. You've done your thing. You've retired and you play golf. And then, hey, man. But what I'm saying is God's got a word for you. And if we're not careful, we won't stick around for his counsel. And that's to our shame. It's our shame to an individual. It's our shame to a husband and wife, to a family, even to a small village or, you know, a city like Winchester. It just rolls on. We need the counsel of God. And he says in Proverbs 11:14, I'll read it to you. Where no counsel is, the people fall. We need God's opinion in our life. So I'm going to do it my way. All right, there's consequences. And we've all done that in one area or another. I'm just here to remind you, God has a lot to say about counsel, and he takes notice when you quit taking notice of his counsel. Do you spend any time in the book? Does it lead you to prayer and communication with God? What a privilege we have to talk to our Lord and Savior. And what a privilege we have to open the book and say, God, teach me your word. Lord, show me the right path. God, teach me who to be companions with. All those things make a big difference. I mean, think about what all fluctuates in our life. You know, people, decisions, money, time. And God dresses all that. But so many times we get so busy out there that we never take care of what needs to be taken care of in here. God says, I want you to know what I think about what you're about to do. God says, I want to go deeper than that. I want to help you plan your day. He says there in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We need counseling. We need the counseling of the Holy Spirit of God. But if we're not getting counsel, then it's probably true to say that we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We need the counseling of the Holy Spirit. We need the counseling of a pastor. We need the counseling of preaching. Amen? So in the Bible, it reminds us of all these truths. My question is just to ask you, could this be you? You've just moved on in your life and you've made no room for counseling. He tells you and I in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know who a fool is? A fool is someone that's not interested in counseling. You're going to die. Where are you going to go? I'll deal with it when I get there. Too late, pal. The wage of sin is death. That's reality. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the thought. He tells you and I, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So in this, I want to remind you, many of us, I've done it at the time of my life, where we move too quick. We don't wait on him. We just say, all right, Lord, I'll go solo. It's going to cost you. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. I don't need preaching. We do. I don't need Sunday school. That's my time to sleep. Bad choice. Sunday night, are you serious? One time's enough. You got a problem. I mean, he just simply says they soon forgot his works. I need to be reminded. Bible says renew your mind every year. No. Well, twice a month. No, it says daily. We're prone to forget God's goodness. We are prone to forget that after death, judgment. We're prone to forget that life really, in reality, is short. As Christians, I need to be mindful, Mike, that, you know, there's a bema seat ahead of me. And thank God my sins are under the blood, but I got to give an account, MJ, how I'm going to live for the Lord. Am I wasting my life? Am I investing in eternal things? I need counsel from the Word of God so I can make sure that I'm living a life of obedience. So in that, I think about two guys. Bible talks about a man by the name of Saul. Saul was king, got full of pride, and before you know it, he jumped the gun. And says Saul wouldn't wait for God's counsel, so he jumped in and he moved him to perform the sacrifice that a priest was to perform, only to find God's judgment against him. You see, what happens when you and I don't get counsel, we start taking the lead and we get involved in things where God says, that's not your job. You know how many pastors it takes to pastor a church? Should be only one. You get too many heads, you got a monster. But you know, you got to learn that through counsel. My job's to pray for the pastor, amen, not help him. Now don't take that wrong. I'm just saying pray for him. There's one pastor. He's the one that God's got here. That covers a lot of areas. I don't know why I went there. But here's the bottom line. Saul jumped the gun and he wouldn't heed to God's word and it cost him. Remember Israel when Moses was up talking to God? And Israel said, where's he at? They said, well, he's up there with God. Well, we're tired of waiting. Bible reminds you and I that Israel would not wait for God's counsel. And when Moses was on the top of the mountain praying, it led them to build the golden calf and greatly sinned against God. If they would only waited, they could have been blessed. But instead, they lost their patience. They jumped ahead. It cost the whole nation. That's just two examples. I don't know about you and I, but I can struggle. It's just in us to say, God, I got this. But may I encourage you? We don't got it. So he tells you and I, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. I want to give you four areas where we need God's counseling. I've mentioned them already. One's the preaching of God's word. We need to hear his word preached. We need to be reminded all through the Bible that he loves sinners. Amen. Let me read you a verse there in 2 Timothy. And look what he says. Actually, I'm going to go to Titus. But he tells you and I that sinners are in a mess. And because of that, Christ came to die for them. You know how many folks that I've had the privilege to see saved just through the preaching of the Word of God? How many folks have walked this aisle because of the preaching of the Word of God? You go to church camps, man, you preach the Word of God. You see them come, bow their head, give their heart to Jesus Christ. There's one thing that I have learned. I don't understand it, but God will use preaching to challenge our hearts. He says here in chapter 3 of Titus, he says in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. How did it appear? Through the preaching of God's word. It's the power of the gospel that wins your heart over. It's the power of the gospel that brings faith to your heart. It's the power of the word of God that shines a light in, let you realize that, you know what, I've got a problem. I am a sinner and sin's got to be paid for. It's through the preaching of the word of God that I saw that Christ loved me. It was through the preaching of the word of God I realized sin's got to be paid for. Either I can let Christ pay for it or I can pay for it. I made a good choice that day. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I didn't find that. He found me through the preaching of the word of God. He tells you and I here in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All of us who have placed our faith in Christ have to go back to where we heard the message. Somewhere God pierced our heart through the preaching of the word of God. That's why the devil tries to keep you out of church. Not only was I saved through preaching, but I was taught doctrine through preaching and through teaching. I learned a lot through Sunday school. Not only being taught, but when I learned to teach and had to read and provide. I mean, when I began to study the word of God, the Holy Spirit, oh man, did he ever show me truth. My marriage, 38 years. I needed the word of God to help forge me and my wife together. I mean, two separate lives, raising two separate homes, trying to come together and be one for the cause of Christ. It takes the word of God. It takes the preaching of the word of God to help us to humble ourselves and to forge. The word forge means to come under intense heat. Conviction of the word of God. Let God break you down. It's not about me or her. It's about him and how we can come together for the glory of God. If you don't have preaching, I tell you, it'll show up in all types of areas of your life. That's why the devil tries his best to keep you home. He'll put you on a ball field, golf course. He'll put you in extra hours. I mean, listen, he'll do anything in the world to get you away from the counseling that you'll get through the preaching of God's word. The preached word is a seed. If that seed can get in your heart, you know what it'll do? It'll bring forth good fruit. But if the heart stays hard and cold, and then you'll just be a shallow Christian. And then you'll fall into carnality. Saved, yes, you received a gift, but there's no growth. There's no maturing. It takes all those things for you and I to understand that we need to be patient. And we're going to have to endure some things. Listen, I had to find out through the preaching of God's word that things aren't going to be easy. Not everybody's going to like you. We're in a pagan society. And all through the preaching of the word of God, he's reminded me, I was there for them, I'll be there for you. He gave them victory. He can give us victory. I want to remind you, make time for counseling. Make time to hear the preaching of God's word. As God's children, we need his loving counsel. And he gives it to us in this book. Number two, we need God's counseling through your pastor. I'll just remind you, here's what he has to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For there will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, that's a picture globally. But it don't mean that you have to fall in that category. God help you and I, not only to love the book, but to love those teachers and the men that stand and teach the word of God. Hey, listen, they've studied, they prepared. They're God's man to help you and I to hear the book and hear it clearly. What a responsibility. They got to pass along to you the doctrine of the word of God. God counsels through pastors. I've seen a lot of folks that would turn a deaf ear to a pastor. You got to drop your pride. Listen, we all face battles. And there's times you probably just need to say, Pastor, I need counseling. And most pastors will say in their heart, well, I counseled Wednesday night, but you wasn't here. And I counted on Wednesday, Sunday afternoon at 5 and you wasn't here. But he'll always make time for you most of the time. But the bottom line is, every time we stand behind this pulpit, we're trying to counsel through the Word of God. And the man of God, whether he's a teacher or no matter what, listen, the greatest educational system in America is local church that's preaching the Word of God. It'll let you see the perspective from heaven. And I promise you that outweighs what man has to say. He reminds you and I through the Word of God. He says there, they turn away their ears from truth. Pride and selfish ambition have always brought trouble to God's people. I don't know, guys. The only thing that keeps me humble is just staying the Word of God. And let that mirror remind you that man's just a few steps from a fall. And it don't take much to bait us. And our flesh is evil. And I don't have the power to crucify it. I don't have the power even to tell it no. But God does. And he helps me see beyond the lies of the devil. And he gives me some wisdom and some insight. And I can learn from history. Every time I read the Bible, it reminds me, David, that could be you if you don't stay in the book. That could be you if you don't stay in the house of God. That could be you if you don't let the Word search your heart. But it's clear in Scripture, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Every time you search the story out in the Bible, God said, I made my word clear. You just wouldn't hear it. I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be a casualty. I just don't. And the best way that I can stop that is to stay with the right people. And anytime you find yourself away from the house of God or the Word of God, I promise you, it's going to catch up with you. It's going to find you and it's going to hurt you. Make time for the Word of God. Make time from the counsel from the man of God. It'll benefit you in the days to come. Take your Bible, if you would, and look at James 4, just for a minute. Look what he says in a few verses. Verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye have not because ye ask not. Look at verse 4. You adulterers, adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is what? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And he tells you, I got grace, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud and give grace unto the humble. The verse says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is a double-minded person? He just kind of floats back and forth. He's really never yielded to the Word of God, to the house of God. It don't take much to uproot him. He'll go anywhere just to give him a phone call. Church is no longer a convention. Neither is it a priority. Wednesday night, he has every plan in the world to come, but one phone call gets him chasing a rabbit. Double-minded. Have you ever got serious about your faith? God said, I want to counsel you. Thirdly, he wants to counsel you through his word. God's advice for life is always found in scriptures. Tells you who not to marry. Don't be unequally yoked together. Well, it'll work. Read the Bible and do it. What do I do with my money? Give your tithe to the Lord and give over and above your tithe to missions. Simple. Can't outgive him. Find the principle. Be obedient to it. Friends. What kind of friends should I have? Bible's clear on that. Your companions should be those that fear the Lord. Find the answer and line up to it. God said, I want to counsel you through the Word of God. He tells you and I in Psalm 73, verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. God said, I want to help you here and reward you there. He tells you and I in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And Mike, he's way up there. He can see more than I can see. You ever just see a GPS navigate you through an area where you're clueless? And you're pulling. I'm in a 40-foot boat. And you think, man, if I get lost, you can't turn this thing around anywhere. So what I'm saying is you just lean yourself to that advice. You ever cross a bridge? Think, oh, my, I hope this thing's okay. You know, I'm taking 35,000 pounds across that. I hope that inspector looked at this thing the last 5 years. Silly things. You ever get on a plane and everything it does, it don't make sense of science? And you just wonder who those two guys up there, a woman I've never met, and they're taking me 33,000 feet up. Gee, I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? You ever think about that kind of stuff? So what I'm saying is, there's advice. He said, I want to guide you. Listen, down here it gets confusing, but every time I get in the Word of God, it helps clear my mind up. He directs my steps. I don't know, it's the best GPS system I've ever had. In my heart, he'll say, Dave, that's good, or Dave, that's not good. His Word speaks to us. Listen, how many times has the devil tried to coach you in doing something and the Holy Spirit's fighting the whole time? He's telling you, don't do it. Don't you listen to that. And boy, there's a battle going on. You know what you need? You need to find that principle and say, it don't make sense, but I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to let God counsel me. His Word overrides the word of the world or the enemy. Listen, I've seen it. Pastor, how many times have we watched a train wreck? And we knew it was coming miles down, but they wouldn't come to church. They wouldn't get in the Word of God. They didn't have an ear to hear. They didn't. I mean, you tried everything in the world. Boom! Tragedy. Lives are taken. Families are destroyed. Tried everything in the world. We got to stay among the counseling of God's Word. You need the Word preached. You need to hear the pastor. You need to come to church. Hey, your safest place is in the house of God with the man of God under the Word of God. It's good counseling. I want to close with this. You need prayer. Solomon prayed. Elijah got a hold of God and prayed. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. This is not for the unbeliever. They don't have this privilege. This is for the Christian. This is for you and I. He said, you can come to me with anything. Make your request known. Talk to me. Sup with me. We have the privilege to humble ourselves and say, God, I've heard the word, and Lord, in my heart, I'm heavy. I don't know the right time. I don't know when and why and all, but God, I'm just asking you. I need help. I'm humbling myself. I'm asking you, God, help me. Help me to make the right decision. God, let me know when to do it and how to do it. He wants to be a part of your life. He tells you and I in verse 7, and the peace of God. See, when God reaches way down in there and says, this is right, this is the peace of God. He tells you and I, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you, church. Just make sure you make room for counsel. Make time for Sunday school. Sunday school helps me. It's a good investment. It's taught us just from the Bible. You say, well, I didn't need anything. How? You know, you weren't even here. You're not going to get it if you're not here. But God says, if you'll show up, I'll take the word and speak to your heart. And you say, well, I didn't really need that today. You might need it tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to face. Mike took a trip down with his family to preach the word. And next thing you know, he's on his back. Boom. Things change in a heartbeat. You say, I don't need it. You know what you're going to face. I know you got plans tonight, but you might not even be here tonight. You need the Word of God. Don't the Bible say in Matthew 6:33, seek you first. If you put, make me first, all these other things that's pulling you away from me. What does he say, Keith? He says, you just keep me first. My arms are big enough, right? Do you know what I mean? I can gather the things that you're working for. I know what your needs are. Devil, listen, just study his character. He's the master of getting you tied up in things that don't mean a hill of beans. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first. God, I need your counsel. Well, everything's going pretty good right now. But in a minute, am I right or wrong? In a minute, things, one phone call. So here's my question. The greatest counsel you'll ever have, it's simple. If you're here without Christ, you got the same problem we all have. You're a sinner. And the wage of sin is death, which means you're going to die not only physically, but you got to have a spiritual death. That means your soul is going to be cast into everlasting darkness. It's going to be hell. And you say, well, it can't be that bad. It's horrible. Read 16, chapter of the book of Luke. It's horrible. And you know what? Everything you're going to be asking God for down there, he can give you right now. And it's grace. It's a quench of thirst. It's peace. It's love. It's joy. It's light. But instead, you said no. And I've never met anybody that wants to go to hell. But here's what the devil does. He said, just deal with it later. Deal with it later. A month goes by. A year goes by. 5 years go by. And he has his way of getting you wrapped up in stuff. That call, that message that was so clear, that one that you put off and kept putting off and kept putting off. Now it's just like you don't hear it anymore. There's a time you was close, but you know, close don't get it. You got to bow your head and you got to receive him into your heart. And you say, well, I will one of these days. I hope so. But every day you say no, is that last moment could be it. He'll never call. Listen, you don't find God. He calls you. So if God knocks on your heart's door and tries to call you in, that's serious stuff. And if you say no to that, that's real serious. So maybe you're here and say, I'm not saved, but I've heard that. Well, I'd get it settled. That's good counsel. Because if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to go straight to hell. There's no timeout. There's no pause. There's no redos. There's no, I got it. I got it. Send me back up. Or no. Hey, you done made your choice. So your best counsel is you better get saved while you can. I wouldn't put it off another minute. I'd get it settled. If you are saved and you think, well, that's kind of been me coming in and out. I understand that. There's a lot of pull out there. I'm just trying to remind you with history. Israel did the same thing and it cost them. It's still costing them. Am I right? So what do I do? If the Lord says, that's you, pal, I'd get up here and say, God, I don't want to go no farther. God forbid that you have to do something to get a hold of me. When I heard a message like that, I'll just choose to settle it. Amen? You know what the Bible says about Israel? He said he was jealous over them with a fury. He said, I was so jealous, and they gave their love and attention to everything else. God said, I took notice, and I stepped back. Let me say this. That Bible that you carry and you don't know anything about looks good, but the bottom line is that book that you're carrying ought to be carrying you. But you got to make the transfer. Dad taught me to carry the book, but I had to learn for the book to carry me. And I had to make better decisions. And I had to, you know, God's answers are clear. I just never read it. And I want to encourage you, if you carry the book and you know what the Bible looks like, but if the Bible is not in your heart and you're not studying it, it can't do a cleansing. It can't give you faith. It can't strengthen you. It can't do everything that God wants it to do. I want to tell you, God's got the answer for life. Every circumstance, God said, I've got a word for you. But you got to let him show it to you. All across our country, good churches have great pastors of the past and the present.
men that have stood faithfully, whether you was here or not, and preached the word. You say, what's the big deal? Study your Bible. You'll find out the honor that's due them. Prophets were sent to Israel, and you know what they did? They stoned them, and Jesus held them accountable. He said, I gave you the word, and you didn't respect it. I sent you the man, you didn't respect him. God takes notice when he places a man, amen, a pastor called man of God to help govern the church and guide the church and watch for your souls. Listen, I know he's been here a long time, but don't you ever forget, God sent you a man to love you and preach to you and bury you and marry you. And when no one else would come, he would be there. You hold him up in prayer. You hold his wife up. You love him because I promise you, they've been loving you for years. Good counsel. Don't push it away. Make room for it. God will honor you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor's going to come and take care of the invitation.